You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This is episode 17 of Off the Edge with me, Cam Jordan, on the podcast. I can't wait to tell you what's coming up this episode. We talk about the playoff picture around the league finalized in week 18. We're going to talk about Saints-Falcons game and perceived disrespect and my lack of caring. We're going to talk about the drama over Jamal Williams' TD play that led to this disrespect. And, you know, then we're going to come up and interview my dog, Darius Slay, Big Play Slay, with the Philadelphia Eagles headed into the playoffs, which I wanted to be. Stick with me. Stay tuned. When we come back, Off the Edge with me, your host. All right, let's get into it. First of all, right after the game, one of the first questions I fielded was, hey, what are your future plans for next year? What are you even talking about? Have you never heard me say I'm playing till year 15? This last year, I loved football. I might have even fell back in love, even more so with football. This year alone, you know, we was almost healthy until week like 11 coming out of a bye week somehow. How do you get hurt after the week after a bye week? Like, normally you heal up during bye week. I was like, I'm feeling great. We go play Atlanta at Atlanta that week, 11, 12, whatever that is, coming off a bye week. Fourth quarter, couple minutes left. Guys fall on my leg. I end up with a high ankle sprain, which I'm not sure why it's labeled a high ankle sprain. It was higher than that. It was like shin area, tearing my syndesmotic something or other. And then, you know, wanted to play, compounded that high ankle sprain with the low ankle sprain that following week. You know, now because of that, you're doing all this stuff to overcompensate. You've got, you know, some slight knee issues. Like at some point the body was breaking and I refused to be broken. You know, during the season there was, you know, the high ankle, low ankle, you know, some knee activations that had to happen, which led to continue playing, so, you know, a slight herniated disc in the neck. It was always something. This last 7 weeks of the season, and I'm just so blessed to have made it through all 17 games, all 18 weeks of the NFL season, and I wanted so much more for our team to capture our potential, to lead us into the playoff picture. We head into our final three games. Where we needed to beat the Rams, the Buccaneers, and the Falcons to control our destiny. We went 2 of 3. We lost to the Rams, and then, of course, beat Tampa Bay at Tampa Bay, and then destroyed Atlanta when they came over to New Orleans. So, you know, that just is what it is. I just hate that my 13th year in the league was sort of messed up by injury. But you can never see, you know, you can never really just hold yourself back, man. I'm all about this game. So long story short, I'm playing till year 15 until I tell you otherwise. You know, it's Cam Jordan and the New Orleans Saints, black and gold, and Cam Jordan just go together. Let's get into outside perception. In this game, you know, when you get up on a team, normally you take a knee when you're up by 2 or 3 touchdowns, and we were probably going to do that. You know, I believe the call for the last game of the Falcons-Saints game, the Saints-Falcons game, where we handedly beat the Falcons. You know, I think they went up 14 points earlier, something like along lines like that. And nobody even had a bead of sweat on the brow. You knew that this was their Super Bowl. This was the best chance that they had to swing at us. And we took that punch on the chin, ate it, spit it back out, and kept on going to work. And next thing you know, the score was not close. You know, we'd like to say we handedly beat them, destroyed them in the run game, held them to under 3 yards a carry, and that's Bijan Robinson and Cordero Patterson. Didn't let the quarterback escape out the pocket, sneak around, and when you have things like that, that leads you to success. I mean, so we're sitting there with like under a minute left, minute change left, 41-17, and our defense goes out there. Tyrann Mathews gets an interception, and I blame it on Tyrann. He gets an interception, runs it towards the end zone like he's going to score. Somewhere in the 20, 30 yards before the end zone, he starts slowing down like it's Miller time. And Miller time, for anybody who doesn't know, is a time where you take a slide, your offense comes out, you take a knee, game's over. Miller time, go have you a beer in the back, man. The game's over. It's Miller time, but also it's the end of the game, so you could just score because at that point, it's so far out of it. Like if this was Madden, and you're beating a team 21 points, you have to give up the sticks after possession. So somewhere in the third quarter with like 10 minutes left, the sticks should have been given up. You know, the flag, white flag was waved. We know mossed Atlanta to the point where, you know, it was what it was, you know. So because Tyrann didn't score, and then he was indecisive about it. It was like as he was getting tackled, he's like, yeah, I think I want to score. Reaches out, ball on the 1 yard line. Now, from my understanding, you know, we send out a victory formation. I think, you know, the question was posed to D.A., hey, do you mind if Jamal scores? And I don't know if that comes from Jameis. I don't know if it comes from other players. As a defensive guy, I'm just celebrating with my guys. We're hyped up. In my mind, the Falcons is done. At the same time, I'm like, I hope they don't need it. Like, that's just my reservation. I'm like, just score on them. Jamal goes in, and I wasn't even aware that he hadn't had a touchdown all year. They make a call in the huddle. Everybody's behind it, and Jamal scores a touchdown.
Jameis Winston in at quarterback for the Saints.
Would have been his second pick six of the year.
The Saints, are they missing a guy?
So they do.
Take a knee.
Take a knee. It's victory formation. Jameis. No, he gives it to Jamal Williams.
Oh, wow.
And Jamal Williams gets the touchdown.
Oh, wow.
And there it is, the 1 yard gain. Oh, that's what he did.
But you talk about rivalry. Saints look like they're coming out and taking a knee.
Right.
Well, we don't have any love lost for you right there.
Now, game over. I see, you know, I'm on the sidelines. One of our weightlifting coach guys like, hey, watch out for your guy, DA. And I was like, what do you mean, watch out? I have no idea, you know? Like, and so I sort of peek over, and there's like this little, I can't call it a couple of old guys, but you know, these are the coaches. My guy, DA, Dennis Allen, is talking to Arthur Smith. You know what I found? I was like, is this a disrespectful moment? Because DA went to go talk to him and puts both hands on the front of Arthur Smith's hips, like, bow. I was like, oh, now that's the, see, that I take that as just, he was like, calm down, man. Like, calm down. And I'm like, I'm not understanding the ramifications here. And whatever happens, you know, there goes my guy. You can see my guy, Rizzy, our special teams coach, on the side, like, hey, yeah, get out of here. And I'm like, yeah, Riz, go ahead, big dog. And so, you know, we finish the game. We go inside or whatever. And now my guy Jameis is fielding questions about how it's disrespectful to score on a rival team.
Well, I apologize to DA because the play was victory.
Yeah.
But I also explained to DA that it was a team decision.
Yeah.
And I think when you have a team morale, and I asked the guys, I said, guys, like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
We know how much Jamal means to this team. And I understood from DA's perspective. So I give him that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but DA didn't condone that at all.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't.
Bro, this is a rivalry. This is the rivalry that we strive for. I'm fully behind putting 50 points on the Falcons at any given time. Falcons, fail can'ts, you know, like what they can't do, beat us at the end of the year in our house. We couldn't do it in 2023, 2024. You know, that puts the you know, the cherry on the season of getting a win and getting a rivalry win. I don't care how it happens. There is, like, I don't care. I wanted 50 points to be put on them. So we go in, and then the outside world is trying to crush my guy, Jameis, and that's just, is not necessary. You know, you got old heads coming out the woodworks, but they never play for the Saints. They never play for the Falcons. They don't know this Saints-Falcon rivalry. This is a rivalry game. If you're not trying to destroy each other, what are you trying to do in this world? I get it. It's 2023 and everybody wants to be nice. So, I had former teammates, Ben Watson, say something about how, that's not the right way to do it. I had, the OG, Shannon Sharp, Hall of Famer, legend, talking about how he cut Jameis. Bro, this is a rivalry game. If you ain't bought in, just butt out, I've talked to all my teammates, man. I ain't hear not a kickback from my teammates. So our squad decent with it. In fact, maybe I guess we should have been in victory formation and ran a straight up power play down the middle. They couldn't stop the run anyways. They're averaging 6 yards a clip at the end of the game. So what's another yard? Tyree would have scored. It would have been no issue. So that just is what it is. I wish we would have gone for 2 points at the end just to send a better message. We won. You can't stop us. You couldn't stop us. It happened. And so, we'll go into the offseason knowing that we have to be better because a 9-8 record, guess what? It didn't get us a playoff spot. So we're sitting on a couch and now I just sound bitter. But next year, hopefully when we have a chance to get into the playoffs and we control our own destiny, you have to take advantage. You can't go 2-3. You got to go 3-3. You have to be able to win those games. Hell, I'm upset that we lost to the Packers when we were 17 points up. When you don't control your destiny, all you can do is play to the best of your ability and hope. And that's what we were doing Sunday. We controlled, we played to the best of our ability. The better team won. And then we sat down and hoped that we would get in. And that's sort of what happened the last 3 years. And that shit sucks. That shit hurts. I mean, I'm already ready to go into my villain arc. Like, I'm about to go into my bag, my lab. I'm going to take a couple weeks with the family, and I'm going to get back to this football ASAP. I might grow out my beard, cut this hair off, man. It's no sideshows, all attentive to what needs to be the most important thing right now. And that's getting to the playoffs, trying to figure out how to bring a Super Bowl to New Orleans. And when we come back from this break, my guy Darius Big Play Slay is going to chat it up with us on Off the Edge, the podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Appreciate you for tuning in. My guy over here on Off the Edge podcast, me, your host. Don't mind me. I got a sty in my eye from bacteria, something like this. So I'm gonna keep my glasses on. But I got look, I got somebody who's a five-time Pro Bowler, a first team all pro. You don't call him by his first name. His name is Big Play Slay, aka Slay. You know what I'm saying?
Don't disrespect the name, y'all. Please don't. It's Slay. It's Slay, y'all.
Man, look, I know from a podcaster to a podcaster, you got your podcast, Big Slay podcast, right?
Yep. Big Play Slay.
Big Play Slay podcast.
Yes, sir.
Let me not mess that up. Yeah, no disrespect here. you know, from podcast to podcast, I appreciate you tuning in, bro. From a player to a player, I still appreciate you. And always. Now, you know, from a guy who's on the couch watching teams get into the playoffs, you know, I'm just going to be a fan. So I probably can never say go gangrene or whatever y'all sail over the fly. You could fly some shit like that because
you can do it. You can do it.
Y'all got annoying fans. Like I'm a root for individuals. This is the part of the year where I can root for individuals. I hate that black and gold ain't in it. So I'm a root for my dogs.
Yeah.
You and them.
That's respectful. That's respectful though.
You know, no disrespect. All respect my way. You know,
yes,
you
sir,
got you, I be rooting for Jalen Hurts. You know, like there's key individuals I can root for. I hope all offensive linemen fail. Like, I just, that's a part, as much as I root for individuals, I root for the downfall of all. But, you know, let's just get into it, bro. Like, you know, are you feeling good? You were playing well, and then you had a little knee bump.
Yeah.
You guys got a game Monday. But if anything, I know Big Play Slay came to play. So, like, you're there Monday. I'm going to turn it
on.
I'm rooting for my dog.
Yeah. Come on now. I'm there. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It's win or go home, you know. So, I'm got to be there.
Gotta be there. You know, you DBs, you never know, bro. You know, sometimes y'all DBs are like wide receivers, get a little of that prima donna.
And that's the new generation. I'm old school.
Yeah.
I'm old school. You know what I'm saying?
You need me.
Let's go.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I know y'all confident. What's the mindset and approach moving forward into the postseason now that, you know, you guys are set to face the Buccaneers on the road.
Yeah, on the road now. It's going to be good, man. We got a good vibe going, man. I know a lot of guys in the room and around the world just don't feel like the feeling how everything went with 1-5 in the last couple of games. Not a good feeling for sure going into the playoffs, but it don't matter no more, though, because it's 0-0. You know what I'm saying? We got to go out here and execute. It's a clean slate. And it's hard to win 11 games. That's what people don't understand. It's hard to win 11 games in the National Football League. You know, so and to get in the postseason. Right now, we're only 14 teams in the postseason. The rest of them just sitting at home, you know, not including yourself because you're still one of the best ever to do it. But I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying, not throwing no shade.
Sitting at home.
You know what I'm saying? And we collecting another extra check. You know what I'm saying? Collecting an extra check. You know, we got here working. And now you're still doing the things we love to do, man. Still got a chance to go get this bowl.
Facts. I mean, bro, you went 10-1. Like, that's impressive as hell as it comes.
That's hard. That's hard, bro. That's hard.
And you're going to go play the Buccaneers where, you know, we played them 2 weeks ago, beat them at the crib, silent, super silent in the stadium. It's not that hard to do. You know?
Y'all did do a little thing. Now, I watched the film.
As you're breaking down film, you know, you're going to go against the Buccaneers team that barely beat the Carolina Panthers 9-0. They won two games this year, 9-0. So I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying I'm rooting for you, or maybe I'm just rooting against a
Tampa Bay
divisional opponent.
Man. I feel you, though. I feel the same way about a lot of teams. I just want Dallas to get their ass blown the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? I just want to get blown out. You know, first round, exit, go home.
Man, that's evil intent on the straight division.
I'm talking about evil. Ain't nothing good out. I don't give a damn what's going on.
Look, I put it like this. I got a question for you. If you were to play Cowboys in the playoffs and y'all go up by 3 touchdowns and are sitting at the 1 yard line, offense on the 1 yard line, would y'all go for the tush push or would y'all take a knee? Let's call it 20 seconds.
We got a tush push. Come on, let's get in there.
Thank you.
Put
as many points as possible on your rivalry as you can.
Yes, to definitely the rival, and definitely with Dallas. And you know, that's our biggest rival. And that right now, that's who y'all biggest rival was, Tampa. And you know what I'm saying?
It was Atlanta, bro.
Atlanta, y'all biggest one. Yes. Tampa got into the picture, really.
Tampa's just like this, if Washington Commanders got good for a couple of years and was like, hey, we're rivals.
Right.
Like,
yeah. No.
Relax.
It's really Atlanta. It's really Atlanta.
Man, it's only Atlanta.
Dallas for sure. We tush pushes, so they better be prepared. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it.
Facts,
I'm glad
bro.
Jameson did that.
You know, that's why Jameson.
I loved it. If you want him to score, you should have came off the ball. Keep us out. I don't care. We lined up in victory for America. We don't line in tush push and look like we about to tush push. We ain't tush push.
So exactly. Okay. Hey, it's football. Hey,
it's football.
If a team ever goes in victory formation, I straight up tell the offensive lineman on the other side of me, I'm like, hey, brace yourself. What?
Brace yourself. That's two.
Because just in case you mess up in this ball fumble, I'm trying to win. Like, I get that. I get that we're quote unquote it, y'all in victory because y'all have won, but I'm still trying to win. Like, I'm winning through.
Definitely at the 1 yard line. I ain't got no intent. Yes, come on, defend every blade of grass.
No doubt. What? No, I got to. Anyways,
has to.
What do you think about the narrative floating around the Eagles are frauds because y'all had the 10-1 versus now, you know, the 1-5 y'all finished at frauds? That's frauds it's, is it was, a tough, you know, is a crazy word.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy, you know, man, but that's just how it is. You know how media get. Yes, we're on our high horse. Our season was been up and down, as you can say, but 10-1 still hard to win. Got guys that's still working, trying to get their stuff together, get body. We had a lot of guys drop. I'm talking about numerous. Definitely in the secondary, linebackers. We got a whole new linebacker core. You know, we can start off who we with, D tackles. Everybody getting down, you know what I'm saying? So to come out 10-1 and still make the playoffs, I mean 11-6 and make the playoffs and stuff like that, you got to be, you know what I'm saying? We're not a proud of, but
we going
in there like, okay, we getting healthier, we getting better, but we ain't no frauds at all, man. It's hard to be a fraud at 10-1 going to start the season off 10-1.
Man, 11-6. What is fraudulent about these activities?
Back then, 11-5 and 11-6, you damn near had a good season. You know, now it's like, oh, you know what I'm saying?
People create their own narrative.
Yeah. Everybody think we the same Eagles of 2022. We're not. Man. We're not that same team. We know we lost all coordinators. I lost some key players.
When you get excellent, other teams are going to try and pick it. Hey, other teams are going to throw money there. Like, hey.
Yes, come on, man.
Is that your GM? Let me get that. Oh, is that your offensive coordinator? Is that your quality control guy? You be like, God.
Yeah, damn. Take the whole building then. Because I'm saying we lost some key guys and some key coaches and stuff that, you know, help us elevate our game. So, and, you know, we got new coordinators on both sides of the ball. And then, yeah, man, it was tough. You know, we got some new kids and some new positions and people playing all across the world. So,
right.
Yeah, man. But it's still, like I said, it's still turn out 10-1 in that process, still good.
Man, that's what I'm saying.
We can't be like.
You always want to be better. You always strive for perfection. But like, damn, 11-6.
Yeah, man. Come on, 11-6, man. Come on, bro. You know how hard it is.
We sat at 9-8, and at 10-7, I'm in the playoffs at the number 4 seed.
You see, I'm telling you, they don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand it. They be just talking. I hate the media, and I love them at the same time because they get my name popping a little bit.
Well, how has the defense handled and adjusted the changes happening in the organization? You know, with Matt Patricia taking over the defensive plays, you know, you leading to this. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to talk about this players only meeting because those are always interesting. But let's just start off with that. You know, with Matt P taking over the defensive plays, how have you guys handled and adjusted to it?
It was good, man. We know we're still learning. Like a lot of guys, like I'm fortunately one of the guys that know Matt P from Detroit. So I understand what type of philosophy he wants out of his defense. So these guys that's just getting around him for the first time, understanding him being in the building. He expect excellence out of a lot of guys. So, you know, and his defense basically is based on like sacrifice, willing to sacrifice. You know, you got guys that, you know, love to do this, love to do that, but you know, sometimes he like to do that, you know, because he know you other teams love that you do this. So they want you to see let somebody sacrifice, let somebody else do it for a couple of plays, and you know, and you do this. And
when you say sacrifice, you mean like DBs having to come in and take down the pile? Or you talking about like, all hey, kind man, of
shit, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I got to ISO myself on this one receiver, even though I like to play sides.
I was a guy that traveled just on the outside. When he came over, hey, Slay, this might be uncomfortable for you. I need you to travel in a slot. And everywhere he go, you go. So I'm like, okay. Then as I got comfortable with it during practice, you know, it became one of my comforts. So it's just stuff like that, man. You know, he's not saying he's putting you in an uncomfortable position. He's just trying to find the best matchup and the best way to beat the offense.
Oh, he's saying he's putting you in an uncomfortable position. Hey, you might be uncomfortable, but for our defense to thrive, this is what I need.
This is what I need out of you. And I'm like, you know, that's what you got to respect out of coach. He come to you, talk to you about it. So, you know, that's when we was in Detroit. And I said, I got you. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it.
Right. Now tell me about the player-only meeting. Like, we've had some over the years. Yeah. When it's player-led, I feel like that next game, you come out with a lot of intention. Like, I'm intentionally trying to make statements.
It was a good meeting, man. There's a lot of stuff that need to be said to a lot of guys. You know, it's a good thing they always had those, man, because just hear everybody else's point of view, you know, from the offense side and the defense side, because it's all in one and the special team. So we had to talk, you know what I'm saying? You know, led with BG, AJ, and Hurts, you know, guys like that, and Fletch and myself. You know, we sitting there just we kind of let it up be an open room, open book, what they think we all need to do as players. And then the captain's kind of like, you know, led it to the coaches and stuff like that to go present it to them. And so coaches got to understand it, you know, and And we all do. So we just basically kind of just say, hey, dog, hey, let's all just put everything aside. You know, right now we got 16 quarters. That's what we're looking for.
Right.
Play 16 quarters. So put all aside, man. Y'all do y'all best. We do our best. And let's just execute together. Let's meet each other 50-50.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? Let's get it done. No egos. No nothing. The money already made. Your season done.
Right.
Your money's made. If you guys up for contracts.
This is legacy time.
Yeah, they already know they're going to pay you or not already. So now it's legacy. This is your rings and you're holding up that trophy because I've been on a team, but I already know every player I've been on with that Super Bowl team I went to. Not that we didn't win, but we got history now. We tended the Super Bowl together. So I'm going to know these guys. When these guys come around, we're going to talk about that Super Bowl experience. You know what I'm saying? So
no doubt.
I want to be on the other end about winning it. So
that's players are bought in.
Yeah,
players on the same page, players by the offense, defense, special teams, you know what it takes. Hey, 11-11-11, we need all of us to get this win.
Come on now. I need it.
Yeah. The players are bought in. You know the coaches are bought in when you had a guy like, you know, Sirianni being willing to take the blame for a player to shield AJ and Jalen Hurts. Like, yeah. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that? Like, does that amplify the trust that you guys have in him? Is that exemplify the trust that you have in him? Like, what does that tell us?
Well, I just say just like a player, man. We both been in that position as far as a player in NFL. So, you know, as you're at the field, you know, sometimes when you're doing out there running routes, they seeing everything from the side view. We see everything in front of us. So you be like, hey, coach, I can get this guy on this move. You know what I'm saying? Or coach, I could do this on this dude and it's going to work. So I think it takes trust in both areas. You know what I'm saying? You know, of course, you got coach that, hey, you want to trust the coach's call because you got to bring the call to life. So it'd be the same thing with me as on defense. Hey, coach, we need to go get in some man right now. Like, he just dumping. We need to get man. Let's get tighter. Or,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's always that and that and the third. But on the offensive side, of course, you got way more control because, you know, quarterback can check and do all that kind of stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? They just thought they can make plays. And, like, hey, coach. And they just like, hey, that's the quarterback connection. Like, I've been with Calvin and Stafford.
Right.
Stafford. Calvin said, hey, man, throw that thing up right now. Staff throwing it.
Gotta throw it to him.
Hey, if it worked, coach, cool. If it don't, you got an attitude.
So that's worked. How I be going.
It could have worked, coach. Like, it could have worked. I got Calvin Johnson. And at this point, is AJ Brown. Is AJ and Tyreek the one of the best twos in the game right now? So I got AJ 1-on-1 with somebody and I go against all my reads. I'm throwing it up there too.
Gotta throw it to strong Batman. Sometimes strong
Batman.
A strong Batman gonna get the.
I want him, and we ain't giving $100 million for nothing just to have him running routes and cutting grass.
Right. Nah.
Yeah. No.
At the level that he playing, let him go get that.
Let him go get it. So that's what I think. You know what it is. Both gotta do with a little bit of trust in both sides. So
right. You talk about Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson connecting. We know you had the Detroit to Philly connect too, but now you got your guy back. I let that slide. Let run that back because I know how we initially felt about Matt P. We talked about it on the sidelines some Pro Bowls back. And was buddy said I wasn't an elite corner. And I looked at him like, I'm big
come on
Slay.
Come on, coach.
All pro. All now pro, five-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, so, he's big now.
Hey, so did y'all have to have that shout when he came over?
So the whole
sat process. Down and said, look here, brother. Look at these accolades here.
You see him? You see him? You see what I'm saying?
Eat those words and let's talk.
28 career picks, you know, five pick sixes, you know, saying all kind of, just, but, you know, I can say, man, when he first came in, they called me first of all and said, hey, Slay, we thinking about hiring Matt P. I said, hey, I'm a winner. I know what kind of guy he is. I ain't never disrespect him as a coach. He was a great coach. It's just that us as characters, as men was just part. You know what I'm saying? I got morals, you got morals. So I ain't gonna let you disrespect me. I got my own kids at home. You know what I'm saying? So my parents don't talk me like that. So we got there, you know, I came to OTAs a little early just so I can meet them. You know what I'm saying? So get a clear understanding. Cause I'm here to win. I hope you're here as well to win. So I don't want no friction. So we came in there, we had a little talk. It went well, man. And ever since then, you know, we've been, you know, cruising to it, smoothly shoulder. So we just, you know, gradually growing every day. You know, we talk about the football all day and all kind of stuff, you know. So it did have got better. I think he has become a better person. So it's a good thing that, you know, and I'm a man that believes in the second chances. So I gave him a little second chance as we could clean it up. And myself, too, because I probably could have went about it a different way, more professionally, just kept it to myself, maybe.
Right.
But
man, sometimes
I had to say some shit.
That's what I'm saying. Look, the NFL is carried on high emotions. This game involves people that want to win, and people that want to win, they're not just, you know, they're not just going to accept it. You have to have your emotions on the sleeve. If I don't like some shit during, I'll be like, bro, this ain't going to work. Because I want to win. And if you're like putting these plays in because you think that's going to help us win, great. But I will need to feel that as well.
Yes. You know? That's the collective as a group.
That's the collective.
Because we don't feel it. If you feel it, I don't feel it. That's your OV. I can hear it through the headset. If you give the call through the headset, you don't like it. I ain't gonna like it. All the jump off the rip. Come on, coach. Give me another
My man, Dennis Allen has taken that on the chin a couple of times. Came to him like, hey, you know what? I called a bad play.
Yeah.
But make it clear. Players are the ones that can make this play as great as it can be. You know what I'm saying? Easy. If you guys see a flaw in there and you guys overcome that flaw, bad play on me, great play for y'all. And if I set up a great play that I know y'all can make and y'all don't execute, that's why I need you guys to execute at the highest level. Because it takes the scheme as well as the players.
Facts. Same way, man. If they can find a way to just to make it 50-50, boy, it'd be good.
That's it.
We got some coaches that's arrogant that just think they just X's and O's and know everything.
I've heard about some coaches across the league. Luckily.
Me too. I done heard about them.
I've only had to deal with just a few DCs, you know, coaches that I... We're copacetic. Hey, okay, I understand what he wants. I understand the vision. Okay, now let's try and achieve this vision.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I done had my hands on a few too myself, man. You know, I had met one that just think he know too much, and I had one that was just smooth and operating. So I done seen both sides of the ball.
I think I like the ones that like have that little arrogant ego, I know too much to him. You know, versus the hey, you know, this is what do you like to do and what do you like to
have? Nah, I need you balanced. Yeah, I need to know, hey, this is I need you to give me a staple defense, and then this is what you sleep
on. This
is what
you put your head on.
This is what you had on. Like, nobody ain't gonna take this from you. But in the other stuff, you know, you got your little fire zones and your this and that. Okay, we could tweak a little bit of that. You know, you could do a little tweak, you know what I'm saying? But
I need to know what the entree is. And I need to know what your go-to side is. Turkey, mac and cheese. Don't just you can throw in your greens, your gravy, whatever it is.
I don't need you with two. Mm-mm. I don't need
two sides, no entree.
Yeah, I need you. I don't need that turkey as your main course and ham. No, ham need to be on the side or something. Don't have two main courses on me now.
No doubt.
I got to pick which one I want now.
I need to know. Are you a man guy or are you a zone guy?
You
could be both, but I need to know what you'd rather play.
Yes. And then we can make that work. Now I can adjust my ability.
Exactly.
Please and thank you.
And that's why they call you Big Play Slay. But also, where did Big Play Slay come from? Because I've said this over the years. Like, that's Slay. Iggy, don't call him by his first name. That's Slay. Yeah. Big Play Slay when he takes one to the crib. Big Play Slay when he gets interception. And more times than not, Big Play Slay when he's following somebody around because that boy getting active. Where did Big Play Slays even start? Was that Mississippi State thing?
Mississippi State. So I got with my he was my linebacker coach at the time. Right now he was the head coach at Georgia Tech, Coach Collins. But now he's the DC at North Carolina right now. So shout out to Coach. He just got the DC job over there. He the one gave it to me. So I always go by Slay already. So I was just making plays. So when I got
there was no high school D, big D in the house.
Uh-uh.
That's dead.
Nah.
That's dead. That's okay. Dead. That was all your whole face straightened up. Okay. Yeah. So anyways, always been slayed.
Always been slayed. So I was in practice, man. When I got to, from junior college to Mississippi State, I was playing with the twos and going against the ones offense. So I was always picking them off. Pick. And Coach Collins was the one that gave the defense a call for the second unit. So every time I get a pick, that's a big play right there, Slay. And Coach like, you know what, came to the sideline. You know what, I'm just going to call you Big Play Slay because you're the only one on our second team make big plays. So I said, okay. You know, and it ran off with it. And then I like, damn, there's a little ring to it. And next thing you know, shit, I took off with it, changed my hashtag name and my Twitter name, my Instagram name, everything. I need to go Big Play Slay. I needed it.
To the podcast Slay, Big Play Slay, the podcast. Yeah.
Come on now.
Look, I've been in this space for a minute now. You dove in. You know, it used to be me and Mark, and now I'm out here all by myself.
But see now look, we can join. Now I gotta get spread from both points. You know what I'm saying? You the D lineman, I'm the corner. We could talk
turkey. Now we can talk at all levels.
You know what I'm saying? Because it takes you to be great for me to be great, and sometimes it takes me to be great for you to be great.
I love it when I could be great because you're great. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
When you got the corners out there locked down.
Come on now, we can do some good talking.
I get combos out there. Now. I'm gonna be out there looking like Tekken. I'll be out there all hand combos.
Hey, come on now.
Need that. When did you start it? What made you start it? What made you want to give podcast? This perspective? Yeah, this side of it all. Because you know, this side
is tough.
Yeah. Normally you just get the hey, this is what we're going through, move on. Mm-hmm. Do the same week in, week out. It's different.
Yeah, that thing a low-key job, but it's a fun job though. So I got into it, man. You know, my agency and all them and my marketing people kind of like they had reached out and said, man, Slay personality just great. Like, how will he be on camera? So I'm like, shit, I don't know about that. I'm just a natural giver. Like I just bring good vibes. I don't know how to talk to no audience that I'm not looking at. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, shit, that shit gonna take time. So but then they threw their money out there. So I said, I gotta find time. So I got to find the time now. You know what I'm saying? They throwing the cash out here. Shoot, let me find out, man. As I kept practicing, I kept watching a lot of guys that was doing it already. I watched Sherman a lot because me and him was on the same pod. So I just watched how he talked, how he trying to handle it. And how you trying to intervene, like interact with the fans that you're not seeing. So I kept learning.
Sherman's one of the third guys. He went to that week school over there in the northern part of California, the red and white school that just got trashed by the University of California at Berkeley this year. He went to that school, you know, that third. Like they got a dancing tree as their mascot. So I'm not knocking it. I'm just simply going to put it out there, you know.
Boy, hey, you a fool.
If it's a rivalry, I hate them to the core. You know,
like, I see.
Love Sherman. Love Sherman.
I love it. I love
hate the school. Guys. Love Sherman.
Hate the school. Hate the school.
Can respect Christian McCaffrey. Hate the school. You know, like yeah. I hate that he's that cold because he came from that trash school. You know,
that's what I say about AJ all the time. I say, bro, I love you, AJ, but bro, I hate your school, bro. I hate Ole Miss, bro. I hate you, bro. I low key don't like you, but I love you.
I love you, bro. I hate where you came from.
I hate where you came from. Should have went. And he from Starkville, so he made.
Oh, he should have been a dog.
He should have been a dog. He told my slide. I would have been in the league. Yes, you would. You'd have been. You started a trend. You'd have had now all the receivers want to come there. Now they all want to go to Ole Miss.
Well, him and DK Metcalf, that's a hell of a 1-2. That's
come on. And, yeah,
then they had never seen a muscular combo like that. Like
I'm talking about straight action figures. I'm talking about straight action figures. Bro, I know you seen the shirt with both of them boys took their shirt off and they just flexing.
No, no, like, first of all, ain't nobody asked for that. Go run a route. Go run a route.
Please. We know y'all swole up, man. Damn. Stop making us skinny folks gotta work extra hard for this.
First of all, skinny people always got abs anyways, bro. That's easy for you. You like, you know what I'm saying? Now come walk my way when you north of 285. You feel me?
Yeah. And rocked up like that.
Man, then you look like Ben Watson. Hero, you know? anyway, let me get you out here while I'm bullshitting. Man, you think that with all the Pro Bowl that came out, you know, did any of your teammates get snubbed? Because on my side, you know, we just had Rashid Shaheed, the Need for Speed wide receiver going in for special teams as a returner. I'm like, how do you not have a Chris Olave going? But then you look at our division, you know, the NFC, and you're like, damn, wide receivers are stacked this year.
That's they stack. Yeah, a little bit of snub action going on. Not on my team too much. I feel like I think all the guys that made Pro Bowl on our team was pretty consistent. You know, I can say myself could have been in there, but I ain't played, but I missed like 5 games, so I was cool with that. But over the league now, there's some snubs over the league now. I thought y'all young boy number 29 should have got in there. He was picking Paul, stuff. Hey,
Paulson was going crazy.
He was going crazy and stuck up while Marshawn was out. He was going crazy. And then I know you don't like Temple that much because it's in division, but Winfield for sure got snubbed.
Winfield was going crazy too.
He gonna be all pro this year. So he
and got if you're all pro, you definitely should be in a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he gonna be all pro this year.
Then I'm cool. I'm cool with individuals being excellent as long as it's not the Falcons. You know, like end of it, like
I don't think nobody for the Falcons.
Not a soul. Look, my dog Clayus Campbell had 100 sacks this year. I said something on IG and I was like, I really don't get the black and red shit on there.
Yeah, I'm gonna put his old photo of him up. I put the Jacksonville
picture. Put an Arizona Cardinals photo up on that thing one time.
I'm talking about way back. I
text my dog, hey bro, congratulations. Like I'm not gonna celebrate you like I should on Twitter because you represent this wonderful that weak organization with the Falcons situation. But I was like, I'm gonna text him. Luckily, I know him. You know,
They offer you $20 million right now. What you doing?
They offer me $40 million right now. What I'm doing? Nothing.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I might even show up for a day just to be like, oh, this is as trash as I thought it was. It would be.
Just want to be in a building. Just want to see how the building is stinking here. I smell burnt bird in here.
We out.
I feel you. That's how we feel about the Cowboys. I couldn't step a foot in them.
Ooh, Jerry Jones world. Just to see this is a nice setup. Trash them out.
I be smelling stank when I walk in the stadium. I say, ugh, stank in here. I don't like the old turf. For real.
Man, I'm not gonna lie. In terms of fans, though, I don't know who's more egregious. Like, Philly fans is more aggressive, but Cowboys fans is just as egregious. Like,
I'm telling you, look,
Cowboys fans be like, you know, vegans that you ain't even ask if he was vegan. He'd be like, oh yeah, them boys. Hey, we were talking about the Suns basketball, just signing, you know, Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant. And my boy, who's been my barber since I was 16 years old, just bring out his Cowboys jersey. Oh yeah, you know them boys. Bro, we was talking about the big three and Suns. Man, finish cutting my hair so I can get the hell up out of here.
Get the fuck, come on now. For you won't be my barber no more.
Yeah, just dang it, Chris. All right. And just get up out of that thing. But Philly fans, like, look,
it's the worst. I promise you, it's the worst.
They done made a bad name for themselves.
Philly, I love y'all. I do. But y'all are the worst fans. Y'all take pride in what y'all like now.
they take pride in being the worst.
Right, they take pride in being the worst. I'm telling you, I ain't never seen somebody that can have a great game, all game, one bad play. Boo. I'm talking about one bad play during the game. Man, look here. That crowd booed the shit out you so fast.
Oh, no.
I want to have a home game because, you know, it's just home. Feels always good to be home, playing in the playoffs. I'm glad we're away. Because if something ain't go right, then no.
And a playoff game is detrimental. Hey, you need that energy.
I need energy.
Come on. Them boys rock be loud. With us.
They're going to be loud for sure. We're not going to say that.
Oh, it is. Fly, Eagles. Yeah. It's going to be loud. 1940s jingle jangle that y'all be having going on.
It was going to be loud. But, boy, that one play you messed up. Boo. So, I'm like, y'all know people just attracted to negative energy. So, it just trickled down to the team. Don't do it. Don't do it. Please. Now, you're going to really thank me for real. Like, we're like,
off of one play.
Come on, play, bro.
What's wrong with this, bro? I ain't never really had a face.
I see when the game over with, and then we walking out of the stadium, we done got our ass whooped. Then boo us while walking. That's understanding.
Don't boo us, bro. Fans rock with us. I ain't never really faced that until this year. Offense came in. I think they went 3 and out, and the crowd booed. I said, I said, not my Saints Nation. I said, who?
Hey, I'm telling you, like, it's
sort of gutted. Like, no, y'all rock with us. We're Saints. Yeah. We black and gold. We bleed black and gold. Y'all not bleeding black and gold at all times?
Not that play, they ain't. So what? I'm telling you, I've been on the other shoe of it. When I came from Detroit, we played Philly down here. And the boys had like 5 3-and-outs. I'm out there lit, going crazy. What when the boo, and I'm like, and I'm on the other side like, boo, yeah, boo. I'm crunking their ass up. Yeah, boo their ass the most. Like, come on, boo. Boy, they don't play. I said, ooh, they dangerous, man. They dangerous. Come on.
But when the fans with you, like, that's that much more energy with you. So just stick with us. And when the crowds be going crazy, fly, Eagles, fly, doing the whole, you can feel the energy through the team. So if a bad play happens, stick with the damn team.
Please.
He threw an interception. Guys, calm down. Yeah, calm down.
Calm down.
He's just like, we'll get it back. And then just throw out the little fly, Eagles, and get it right back. That'll give the team that energy that they need. Like,
it's a real
thing that, like, there's 11 men on the field, but the 12th man is the crowd. That crowd got to come with it and stay in the game.
Look, we be in a game. They think they offensive coordinators. Run the ball. Run the ball. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Hey, coach, run the ball. Give people what they want.
Run the ball for they go crazy. One time we ran the ball, right? And we had a negative play and they still cheered just because we ran that motherfucker. It was 1st and 10. They say, run the ball, we run that bit. Now it's 2nd and 11. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? It was wild. I said, oh my goodness.
The people want what the people want.
Hey, they do. They do.
Buffalo Bills got fans jumping through chairs. Philadelphia got gangrene going crazy. We want what we want. Here. It's not a survey. It's an impending action.
If you don't do it, we go boo your ass all game. That's how it is. That's how it is.
You got to understand your fan base. Hopefully my fan base don't go that way. You know what I'm saying? This first year, they scared me. I said, Saints Nation is turning on us. Three years of not going to the playoffs now. That like it's
that's sad now.
It hurts now
because y'all stamped now. Y'all stamped now.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I know you don't got too much longer to go now. You're trying to get a champ. You got too much.
I need it. You've been to a Super Bowl. Like if you retire today, you'd be like, damn, Slay went to a Super Bowl. Are you like, does it hurt going and not winning? I wouldn't know. I haven't even hit the stage. You tell me.
That shit hurt though. Like, oh, that shit hurt. I was good afterwards because, you know what I'm saying? I got to be a family man. I got kids to attend to now because I'm like, hey, they done dedicated myself to like, let me play this game for all this offseason. Offseason, I got to give it to them. But boy, I was like, because you don't never know when the next time you go there. You never know, bro. You never know. And you know what I'm saying? So I was hurt for a little second. I ain't gonna lie. Walked off that field, got out. But as soon as I got in the car, I got like daddy mode. Got to go in that good family mode. So
we had to just block out football and be like,
got
to
block out football.
Come on, wifey. Trill, kids.
Trill, love y'all. Come on.
What you want to do, baby?
This is a good time to go to Cancun. Come on, let's go.
I'm on the couch now trying to figure out where I'm going. I'm like, I'm going somewhere. Right out of exit physicals.
You want me to get
surgery? Do I have to? We'll talk about it. How long is it going to take to talk about it? I'm going somewhere. I'm going to the motherland. Like, my feelings is hurt. Like, boy,
they don't understand it, bro.
Like, the amount of blood, the attention, the focus that you give, the energy you give. Bro, I was dragging my weak ass left ankle, had a high and low ankle sprain on it, but she carried it for 7 weeks. I said, what are we doing?
I feel bad. You know, you're my dog, so I've been watching. You know, I watch your tweets and all that
stuff.
Just
out here limping.
I watch your tweets all the time, man. I'm here to vouch for you, man. We're all the true run-stopping DNs, man. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you.
It's dead. It's dead.
Everybody glory to Sacks now, bro. Yeah. Hey, I'm telling you, it's only but two of y'all that have been doing it for a long period of time. And I don't even want to say his name because he a cowboy, but you and DeMarcus Lawrence, the only two that have been certified true Russ DNs / run stoppers.
Run stoppers.
Everybody else,
come get some.
Asset. Now everybody else, they run around the block.
I'm looking for contact and smoke.
I'm telling you, ain't too many more y'all left now. So, no. I mean, of course, you know, both of them boys over there, they got the folks. They do it a good bit.
No doubt. Nick,
y'all, Nick and y'all boy, y'all too? DeMarcus Lawrence and you? Y'all boys edge sellers now. I don't want to say his name because, you know, you're a cowboy, but y'all some edge sellers, man. I appreciate the ones that said edge because that means the run don't get to me.
Man.
Come on.
Them years that like I done had coaches like, hey, we stopped the run up front. Not front seven, front four. He like, ooh. Let the back seven cover front four stop the run. Yeah. See how much more fun you have. I'm like,
yeah. I'd have been on a team with sued them in Detroit in that 2014 team with all them D-linemen crazy. They told us y'all don't worry about no run. Thank you. Right. I won't.
Ooh, sued Nick won't. Fairley.
John Jones, Ziggy Ansah.
I'll say buddy with the red contacts.
Yeah. Devin Taylor.
Yeah, man.
Come on, we had some edge setters for real. I'm talking about. Yeah. Hey,
was Daryl Tapp over there? Was that Daryl Tapp?
Tapp was over there too. Yep.
Tapp
was over there, edge setting. Like, well, look here. That's why I'd be like, dang. And everybody glorifying these sacks, but they cool and all.
They're phenomenal. They can be game changers, and that's why you get paid.
You get paid for them, but man, come on.
Let my little guys do what little guys do. You know, like let them cover. Not worried about like, do I got to plant my foot and try and take out this 330-pound old lineman? Like, remember when Trent was talking about him? It was like, man, I ain't never seen a DB run from me. I said, Trent Williams, 330 pounds. Of course, a DB gonna turn and run because they used to be able to cut you at the knees.
Now you want
$175 to butt up then, a 330 pounder? Impossible.
Come on, man. And then celebrate. I can just like, of course you should pancake me. I'm 190 pounds. They be like, run my way. Duh. If I got a 330 pound motherfucker coming up, I'm gonna try to send it.
No doubt. Whose moniker is a big ass gorilla?
Yes, come on, bro. Who the
DB's moniker is a lightning bolt, a cheetah. Yeah. You know, like on, you know, man. Something a snake, something quick, fast, and you got this man like, give me more weight. No, yeah, player, that's not gonna work out. That's like at that point, ask the offensive lineman to run or to catch a route on one of y'all. Impossible.
Look here, impossible. Man, what's be the bad part about it is our coaches be trying to coach us up to trying to take on to a big old 350 pound guy. I said, coach, what I look like? Trying to learn a technique to take on this dude.
There's nothing from my wrist to my shoulders that's going to do okay.
Do okay with this. It's not going to do okay with this. I'm not going to win this matchup because I'm going to set the edge, try to turn everything inside. Y'all better run. There's no technique for this.
Help me.
That's what the technique called. Help me, please.
I'm going to hold on, so help me.
Yes. I'm going to set this edge as long as I can, but please help. Please.
All right. Final question. I'm going to get you out here because I know you got playoff things to do. I don't. So anyway,
we don't play the Monday.
You're right. You got an extra day.
I got an extra day off, so I'm ready for recover.
Now, why did you change your jersey number? You know what I'm saying? You went from the Kobe tribute to the number dudes.
Okay, so you see, my thing is though, two. So you know what I'm saying? I'm a big Kobe fan, so of course 24. So then when I saw I could get low numbers, why not get the daughter? You know what I'm saying? Because she was number two. So I'm like, I can do that. So I'm like, and two is one of my favorite numbers in JUCO too. So I'm like, dang. So when I changed that first, I'm like, I could go by my JUCO number. But then I looked at it, I'm like, dang, this GG's on too. Like I got both of these experiences. Like something, it just hit me. Like I got both of them. Like now. So I'm like, you know, I'm a real big Kobe fan. So I'll go, and you know, he a big Eagles fan too as well. So I got him tatted on my leg and all. So Detroit found out I was a big Kobe fan. And then they said we played Detroit. And he said it was his farewell tour. Man, shoot. He came in there. I was happy, bro. He came around that corner. What up, Slay? I said, know me. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I was waiting on him. Oh, my goodness. I'm lit. I'm in a party. I'm lit, bro. I was almost in tears. Like, Kobe, you know, dapped me up, talked to me about ball a little bit. I'm like, man, look here, bro. Can you just sign my jersey, bro? Like, can you sign my jersey? Hey, nobody can't touch it. Framed up. You touch my jersey right now, I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail. You touch my jersey. I don't even want you to touch the case. I probably could have met Kobe way more than I met him already. I only met him once, but I could have probably met him like seven more times because he's an Eagles fan. Ain't no telling how many times he would have came to the game. I knew he'd have been at the Super Bowl, definitely my Super Bowl run. He'd probably been loving big play.
Right.
He'd been talking about me on his podcasts or when he do interviews about the Philadelphia Eagles. So he probably likes saying shit. And I would love to hear Kobe say my name out of his mouth, pause. But
From one of the goats of basketball to one of the biggest playmakers in Philly history.
Come on now, I'll have like, man, look here, I'll have been on cloud 10.
See, I'm hurt that Kobe, like Kobe played with the Lakers his whole career, so I'm just hurt. Like I can never truly support my Arizona. I'm from Arizona. You know, all my life I grew up watching the Suns, and you know my son's best team, Western Conference Finals. You know, Lakers knocked them out. I've been a Laker hater my entire life.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad for you. Because y'all didn't have a chance.
No doubt. So, like, I respect the man for his craft. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you talk about DeMarcus Lawrence, that's like, I'm like, dang, Kobe is one of the best of all time. Respectable.
Easily.
But, like, I can't buy his jersey. Like, can never.
That's crazy.
Know? Okay. No, that makes sense then. It's okay. So, we went from Kobe to Gigi that fast. Yeah. Shout out to Big Play Slay. Bro, I appreciate you for tuning in, bro. Like, you know.
Already.
We didn't even talk about the JUCO route because we've done that before on the other podcast. We've done that before. But I appreciate you for tuning in, tapping in. I'm going to wish you well for your playoff run. You go get one because, like, you know, I'll just be here watching. I'll tune in on Monday.
I'm going to try to do it for us old heads, man, the 30 Club.
Man, you know what I'm saying? Do it for the legacy one time. I appreciate you, my boy.
Already appreciate you.
Yes, Sirski. Man, I appreciate my guy Slay for joining the podcast. I appreciate the fans out here showing love to Off the Edge, the podcast. It's been a hell of a ride for the Saints season, but we won't be done with the podcast. We're going to keep on going through the playoffs and on and on and on. It won't stop. So thank you for everything, guys. Tell your friends about us. Tune back in next week. Thank you for listening. I'm asking y'all to leave a 5-star rating, a review, and follow on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast. Shout out Jacob Puser from the 1500 Sound Academy in Los Angeles for creating original music for the podcast. Hey, thank you. Peace, love, blessings. Can't wait to start my villain arc. We're going live. We're going straight up start training like it's going to be a Rocky montage. All I want is a Super Bowl. We got to start winning the offseason today. Till I see y'all next, stay blessed. Peace.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.